let's head out to the phone line and talk with Karen Holcomb Merrill, who is the policy director for the Michigan League for Human Services. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Tony.
Karen directs the State Fiscal Analysis Initiative Project at the League. What is that, Karen?
Well, we call it SFAI for short. The State Fiscal Analysis Initiative is actually a national initiative in about 40 states, I think, now. And in each of those states, there's an organization such as ours that does budget and tax analysis, looking at it in particular in terms of how budget and tax policy and decisions impact on low-income people in their states. So that's what we do here in Michigan. A lot of our budget and tax work is around looking at what the impact is on low-income and vulnerable people in our state.
Karen, you attend a lot of policy meetings. You're around a lot of politicians. Just want to get your take on a story, not the specifics of it, because you probably weren't there. But we had a member of the Lansing City Council on the program today saying how she believes there's dysfunction in the Lansing City Council as far as members not attending enough meetings, members not being prepared, members texting during meetings, members having pizza in the back room while a meeting is going on. And then there's the rhetoric from the Lansing City Council directed toward the mayor and back from the mayor at them in the media and in public, which both sides say is inappropriate and unprofessional. When you see and hear this type of behavior, what's it make you think?
Well, it's hard for me to comment because I obviously wasn't there, haven't seen it, and I don't want to be passing judgment on one side or the other. I mean, I think at all levels of government right now, there's a lot of distension between folks on varying sides of the issues, and I think, you know, particularly when you get during campaign seasons and campaign years, that I think all of that is heightened, and I think the criticism of the other side is more pronounced. But that's about all I can say, since I really wasn't a part of any of that.
Well, let's take that instance and what you may see when you attend meetings and there's disagreement, if you will, that may go outside the norm. What does that say? How do we work through that?
Well, I think that sometimes, you know, we see that happen when there are difficult decisions that have to be made or during difficult economic times. I mean, one of the things, you know, local governments are facing, particularly here in Michigan right now, is you know, greatly reduced revenue. It used to be easy decisions to put budgets together. There was plenty of money to pay for the police and to pay for the fire and to pay for all of the other essential services that we need. And that's not the case anymore. And so city councils across the state and, you know, township boards across the state are faced with really challenging decisions when there's not enough revenue to take care of what are considered essential services, which from our perspective gets to, you know, the much bigger picture, which is making sure there's enough revenue at the state level and at the local level so that we can invest and reinvest in our services and in our people as we try to move out of this economic recession.
Revenues reflect a misguided tax policy is what was released in the Michigan League for Human Services statement. Tell us about that.
Well, there was what's called a revenue estimating conference last week, and this typically occurs in January and May, and fiscal gurus, if you will, come together at the state level, and they agree on how much money they think is going to be available for the current year state budget and for the upcoming budget, which would start in October here in Michigan. And based on that, they make budget decisions. Right now, the legislature is in the process of putting together the budget for the next fiscal year starting in October. So they will now take those new numbers and perhaps tweak what they were planning to do based on it. The concern that the League has, and the fact that we refer to it as misguided tax policy, is that not surprisingly, when we look ahead to fiscal year 13, which starts in October, the revenue estimating conference shows that there will be less money in the general fund, which is used to pay for virtually anything that's not school-related at the state level. And there's less money because business taxes have been slashed here in Michigan. The Senate Fiscal Agency says that businesses will pay about $1.9 billion less in the next fiscal year. Taxes were raised on individuals to compensate for that, so the hole in the general fund is not as big as it might be. But the reality is, because we are giving businesses such huge tax cuts here in Michigan, there's less money available to fund important public structures at the state level and at the local level.
From your point of view, was the tax structure in good shape before Governor Rick Snyder took office?
We have been advocating for years that Michigan's tax structure needs to be modernized, that we need to move to a progressive income tax, that we need to tax have a sales tax on services. Michigan is really an outlier when it comes to both of those, and we have what's considered a really antiquated tax structure. So we have been advocating for tax reform. We have not, however, advocated for slashing business taxes, which there's no evidence to show that that creates any more jobs in any state, and moving those taxes instead onto individuals, which is what's happened here in Michigan. And the other thing that's going on right now as well is another effort to further cut business taxes through the personal property tax credit, or through the personal property taxes, which are paid only by businesses. So we need tax reform here in Michigan. The tax proposals that have been adopted are not the answer.
So are we in better shape or worse shape since Governor Snyder took office?
There are a lot of things that would point to the fact that Michigan is slowly coming out of a economic recession. I think a lot of those things are not necessarily a result of policies that Governor Snyder has put into place, however. And there are things that were done before he came, or just the natural flow of coming out of a recession that are occurring. The fact that, you know, the tax decisions that were made last year, many of them that are not even in place right now. So I think to say that they're a result of those decisions would be incorrect.
There are those who say that there are too many people not taking care of themselves and depending on the government to do that. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think those generalizations are always put out there. And, you know, what we see and what we understand is that there are a lot of people that are still suffering coming out of, you know, the economic recession. There are a lot of families that are still unemployed. There are a lot of people that have jobs, but the jobs pay a lot less than they did in the past, and they're, you know, not yet able to reach economic security. And in those cases, we think there's a really important role for government to help families achieve economic security and to work towards that. So I think that just to put out a general statement to say a lot of people aren't working hard enough is probably an overgeneralization. There are, you know, I like to point out the fact that if you're getting cash assistance here in Michigan, it is because you have children. And we always have to remember and think about what's happening to kids in these equations. It's easy sometimes for people to look and say, well, they're just lazy adults. Well, if you're getting cash assistance in Michigan, you have children and you have kids, and we have to think about what we're doing for the next generation to prepare them.
Let me ask you one final question. We've been asking a lot of business leaders and legislators this question. From what we understand, there's more than 70,000 high-tech, great-paying jobs, whether it's in the computer industry or even high-tech jobs in manufacturing. But we don't have the people to fill those, who have the skills, who have the education and knowledge needed to fill those positions. Also, there are a lot of folks who've just given up looking for work, so may not know that those jobs are available. And perhaps the bigger problem is that there are folks who would love to have those jobs but don't have the funding to get the education or the training that they need. What's the answer?
In 1 minute or less, Tony?
Actually, you have several minutes.
It's a great question, and it's a huge, huge issue that we face here in Michigan. We have still a lot of unemployed people, and as you mentioned, you know, as our unemployment rate goes down, it appears one of the other things that we don't talk about is that there are people that just are no longer even in the system. They've given up looking. But then on the other hand, we have a lot of unfilled jobs. You know, it points to a lot of things. It points to the fact that higher education continues to be incredibly important in our economic recovery here in Michigan. Businesses are not going to come to the state or stay in the state if there's not a well-educated, properly educated workforce. That means that we need to get people into programs where they are getting credentialed, into programs where they are getting their degrees so that they are prepared to go into those jobs. You know, what's happened over years here in Michigan is we keep cutting funding for higher education. We make it a lot harder for people to go to school here in Michigan. You know, the amount of debt that young people are graduating with is just astounding to me. You know, that is not helping us to build up a well-educated workforce here in Michigan, and it's sort of a hindrance to that. So we need to make sure that there is good funding for higher education. We need to make sure that people are prepared to be able to go on to higher education. We need to be sure that for folks that have barriers that would mean they're probably not ever going to go to a four-year college, that we get them the skills that they need to get credentialed so they are at least able to get a good job here.
But no one tells me how. I'm looking for answers here. How do we get that done?
Oh, there's all kinds of best practices in terms of what we do, but a lot of it involves money and it involves priorities. You know, for example, here in Michigan, we have been cutting away at adult education here in Michigan. If you graduate from high school and you can just barely read and you don't have basic skills, you're not even going to be able to go to a community college, or if you do, you're going to spend a lot of time just getting caught up. There needs to be funding. There needs to be a priority that we need to understand that people have those needs, and how are we equipping them to be successful? How are we equipping them to be economically secure? They do that in other states. But in our, you know, here in Michigan, because we have been cutting the budget for the last decade, that includes cuts to adult education, recent cuts to community colleges, cuts to higher education, cuts to workforce development programs. None of that is a recipe for an educated, prepared workforce here in Michigan. We just need to reverse that.
Karen Holcomb Merrill is the policy director for the Michigan League for Human Services. Thanks, Karen.
Yep, have a good one, Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com.